Welcome back to the show. This Football Friday rolls on. Not as much football to talk about as we normally have. Well, I guess we normally haven't had a lot of football to talk about locally in a while because of all the games, cancellations, things like that. Brian Howell joining us now from Buff Zone. And Brian, what a crazy week, man. I wanted to get you on to kind of help us lay this out a little bit. But hey, up until like maybe an hour ago, I still felt like there might be a chance Colorado plays a football game this weekend.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I'm still sitting here just watching reports of like so-and-so team is cleared to travel this week, you know, and I'm about to knock off all the – looks like we're knocking off all the Pac-12 games that are possibilities. I don't think the Buffs are going to play, but, you know, as of like late last night, there was a report that UCLA might be missing some players, and so all of a sudden that puts you on high alert, like, okay, are the Buffs going to play Oregon this weekend? But, you know, UCLA looks like they're going to play, so – yeah, it's been a weird week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, of course, the Pac-12 kind of came in and said, all right, here's the deal. You could play non-conference, but there's a few things to follow. And Brian, does it seem more or less like it was CU-CSU, was that ever even a realistic possibility? Was that how close were we there?
I don't think it was very close. And I think that Pac-12 announcement is more so for future weeks than this week, because when you look at the parameters set forth, there's no way a Mountain West team was going to hit those when it was announced on Thursday. You know, the Pac-12 wants teams to do the daily testing, which doesn't happen in the Mountain West. They do that about three times a week, which works for them. And I don't know which is the right way to do it, but the Pac-12 has its formula, right? So I think that it's more for the future that, let's say CU can't play next week, but they find out on Sunday. Well, now maybe a CSU has all week to start testing everybody, you know. So I'm not sure that CU-CSU was actually ever really in the works.
It's interesting because Monday, if I would have asked you that question, you know, most people laugh at that. But then as we kept hearing more and more things, and then suddenly it was out there anyway. I mean, Twitter was going nuts. You saw it. But it did seem like at the end of the day, it might just be too difficult. And really for Colorado, even it was like, OK, you said it up until last night, maybe even now. We're talking, I joked with Carl Durrell earlier this week, we're talking, hey, when's the deadline on this? You should probably need to know by Wednesday, right? And then I'm seeing reports Friday. So maybe there is no such thing as a deadline until it's actually the weekend has passed.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the deadline is anymore. But yeah, it's strange because you saw Wyoming look like a possibility. And really on the surface, I know a lot of fans don't understand this, because on the surface it looks very easy for CSU or CU to get on a bus and drive 45 minutes to go play a football game, but there's so much more that goes into that. And I do think the fact that the game was going to have to be in Boulder was probably, if they got to that point, probably would have been a sticking point for the Rams, because they were supposed to host CU this year. So I'm not sure they were too thrilled about having to go to Boulder. So there's a lot of sticking points there. It's not as easy as it might have seemed.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, we were talking earlier in the week, you know, for high school games, it's a little bit easier to up and switch it and figure something out. But this is difficult, and especially with the COVID situation, there's a lot of things that go into it. And you can certainly see why it didn't. I honestly didn't feel like it was going to happen, even when it started to feel like it was gaining some momentum.
Yeah, you know, and it's tough, too, because last week it obviously happened, UCLA and Cal. That game was scheduled on Friday, a week ago today, and they played on Sunday. That's a little bit easier when they're both in California. And, I mean, you're looking at, you know, let's say CU had to go to Oregon, and the Pac-12 today says, all right, Buffs, you're going to go to Oregon. Well, now you've got to somehow get your equipment truck up to the Pacific Northwest in the next, 36 to 48 hours. And, you know, it's a little bit different trying to go from Colorado to, you know, Tucson or, you know, Pullman or something like that. It would have been crazy.
Well, it's tough, Brian, when you look at it, just the football side of it, because here's CU now, 2-0. I think that's a pleasant surprise for everybody, but, you know, they're liking that quarterback play. Defense is getting better. They want more from them overall, but that running game you and I talked about a little bit, this is a Buffs team that it's kind of a tough, I mean, I get it, there's a lot of reasons it's a tough week, but this is a tough time. You're really hot right now. You're feeling good to start this season. How much do you think that will impact the rest of the season, not having a game this weekend for the Buffs?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it can work both ways because you're right in that, you know, they're hot. You maybe want to keep that going, but at the same time, they're also banged up. And, you know, they've lost a couple centers. They lost starting tight end Brady Russell, and their top backup got injured the other day against Stanford. So they had a couple walk-ons, including one who was a defensive lineman 2 weeks ago playing tight end against Stanford. So they're beat up in a couple spots. Katie Nixon has not played yet this season and is still coming back from a hamstring. So when you look at it competitively, yes, you know, you want to stay on that roll. But at this point in time, when you get to like Wednesday, Thursday, let's just take the week off. The Buffs have a huge game next week. And potentially, because they're 2-0, that could be for the South title. And this might work out in the Buffs' favor to actually rest up and get and have 2 weeks to get ready for USC.
Wow. How about that? Wouldn't that be something else? I mean, Brian, what did you really expect from this team? You know, so many things going against Colorado, not just COVID, but Carl Durrell was late to the game because of the Mel Tucker situation. Then you're replacing your star quarterback. You're replacing a star receiver in Laviska Shenault. I mean, what were the expectations?
You know, certainly nationally, they were very low. I think I picked them. I'm trying to think where I had them in my preseason ballot, but it was fourth or fifth in the Pac-12. I think it was fourth. I thought maybe 3-4, and then if they got some good quarterback play, that maybe they could get past that. Well, they've had great quarterback play and much better than we thought. So I think that's why they're winning right now, and that's kind of what's put them over the top anyway. And I think if Sam Noyer can play like that, they're going to win two or three more games as long as they play them.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it's been a lot of fun to watch this team too. The crazy thing is replacing the running back situation. You called this, Brian, a couple weeks ago when we talked about Alex Fonda and we didn't know what the future looked like for him. You said, hey, I don't know, though. This is one of those positions where I think they're going to they might be okay. And maybe that was an understatement, Brian. You nailed that one.
Yeah, although I didn't know that Jarek Forsyth was going to
break some records.
You know, he's been better than I thought. I mean, you know, I like Alex Fondo. He's a really good running back. But, you know, like after that first week, there was a lot of questions. People were like, hey, you lost your best running back and Jarek Forsyth comes out. I'm like, no, they didn't lose their best running back. Jarek Forsyth is healthy. He's better than Alex Fondo. And I think Jarek, that performance against UCLA, followed up by what he did last week, that's the best running back play we've seen at CU since Phillip Lindsay.
Wow.
And that was just 3 years ago, but still, that's the best we've seen since Phillip. And, you know, Broussard is really good. I mean, he's one of the best in the Pac-12. And when Fondo comes back, they're going to have a nice 1-2 punch there. But Broussard's doing a great job right now.
Yeah, no question about it. Brian, always appreciate you, man. What are you working on for us that we can check out from Buff Zone in the next couple of days?
Yeah, actually, a couple different things. You know, one is taking a look at more of the kind of what they're doing COVID-wise and trying to keep athletes safe. And then also in the Saturday paper, caught up with a CU alum and well-known broadcaster Jim Gray, who has a new book coming out where he talks about a lot of the goats that he's interviewed over the years, like Tyson and Ali and Tom Brady and people like that. So I was able to catch up with him this week. So a little local angle there with a national broadcaster.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Looking forward to that. Brian, appreciate you. Thanks for setting some time aside for us today. And, we'll see what the future holds for Colorado next week. Who knows what's going to happen then?
Yeah, let's hope they have a game next week.
Yeah, that's what we hope, right? We'll get to a game, and then we start talking about it. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you, man.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, 14 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break. Before we do that, let me tell you about my friends over at SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is family and veteran owned. And as you've heard, interest rates are at all-time lows. So now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you might have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax deductible and your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 970-444-1222, or you can visit them online at myspecialmortgage.com. Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network coming up next. What does the film say? Well, I think the film should say Drew Lock should take a seat this weekend. And let's go with Brett Rypien. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen. I think Drew Lock practiced pretty well today. But I wouldn't mind knowing what you have in the former Boise State Bronco. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 19 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show on this Friday afternoon. It's been pretty busy considering we don't have Colorado State or Colorado to talk about this weekend, but NBA free agency rolling, more on that later on. And the Broncos, of course, trying to figure something out this weekend as they get set to take on a pretty hot football team in the Miami Dolphins. Cody Rourke joining us now, Broncos insider with Pro Football Network, also host of Locked On Broncos. Cody, my friend, great to catch up with you.
Yeah, always great to be here, Brady. I know last week I missed out a little bit on the action, man, but I appreciate being here and talking Broncos football with you and the listeners across Broncos country.
Hey, if we've learned anything about this year, we all got to be flexible, right? Schedules are nuts nowadays, man. Absolutely crazy. We're looking forward to this, though, to see what the Broncos can do against this Dolphins team. But Cody, again, I'm looking at the injury list, and there's still a lot of questionables on that list for the Broncos this weekend.
Yeah, you know, there are, and I think the biggest question marks can be Drew Locke and Noah Fant. And, you know, I know Bryce Callahan's now listed on there due to an illness, but I think he's going to be okay to play. Outside of that, I mean, I think Denver, just with some of the players they have out, I mean, Shelby Harris being out for the third consecutive week is, you know, definitely hurts. But looking at this matchup coming in against the Dolphins, they lost Myles Gaskin last week, and they have Matt Breida, who's only got 150 yards on the ground this year altogether. So, I think the Broncos match up really well, at least the Broncos defensively match up really well with this Miami Dolphins offense. But for me, I'm really intrigued to see how the Broncos will do offensively against this Dolphins defense.
Yeah, no question. I mean, this defense, it's kind of interesting. The Dolphins are not leading in many categories, but I tell you, forcing turnovers, it's a pretty aggressive defense.
Yeah. Hey, you know, some of their numbers, too, where they may give up passing yards or rushing yards.
Sure.
I think a lot of that is due to the fact that they are such an aggressive defense because teams are trying to identify, you know, where they can get the ball out quickly against them. It's not like there's been many offenses this year against that defense. And I just remember going back and watching the Seattle Seahawks game. I remember watching them against the Buffalo Bills early on in the season. And they played really tough against them, against Russell Wilson, against Josh Allen. And, you know, it's just not like they weren't executing. It's more so, you know, every once in a while a big play would happen because of the aggressive nature of their defense. But, you know, I think Brian Flores is very, very complex in the way that he operates as a D coordinator, and it makes it tough for offenses. So I think for Denver, this is the thing that concerns me, is that Denver hasn't responded really well offensively to a lot of pressure, maybe minus the New York Jets games. That was the one game I thought they'd actually did a pretty good job against pressure. But it's been a different story so far since Drew Locke has returned to the starting lineup.
Well, Cody, again, it seems like we keep saying it every week, but with that pressure and with your concerns, whether it's Drew Locke or if Brett Rippon does go, I mean, the Broncos have to dedicate themselves to that rushing attack, and I know there's a lot more to it than just handing the football off, but do you see this team working maybe harder throughout the week to try to just make sure whatever they do, they incorporate that run game, especially in that first half, to take some of the pressure off?
Yeah, and I think you can expect that. I think we're going to see an emphasis from the Broncos against the Dolphins really on getting the run game going early on that first series. I wouldn't be surprised if we see them run it the first two plays of the game. You know, trying to get them to get the run game going, that has been an emphasis so far in Dove Valley this week for the Broncos. They're working on it, and obviously, you know, factoring in offensive line and the changes there, those are things that they're dealing with. But I think that's going to be a big part about what they're trying to accomplish in these final seven games.
We're talking to Cody Rourke, all things Broncos, Dolphins this weekend. You did some film study on Bryce Callahan, and you mentioned earlier you think he's going to be a go, so we're all crossing our fingers because, man, when he is not there, you feel it on the defensive side. I love your breakdowns, especially when you start breaking down the corner play. Bryce Callahan, though, I mean, he was good with Chicago. We didn't get to see him last year. Is it fair to say he is a better player now than he was at his best in Chicago?
Yeah, I would say that right now based on the product. And you know, I'll even take it a step further for him. I think and believe wholeheartedly based on what I've seen on film, I feel like the Broncos have had more impact and more of a presence defensively at the nickel corner and even outside with Bryce Callahan than they did with Chris Harris Jr. in the last two seasons.
Wow.
And look, that may sound like a hot take, but if you go back and you watch the film, I see Bryce Callahan consistently playing tight coverage. If you go back on that film review against the Raiders, I mean, Nelson Aguilar, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, he is there hip for hip with these guys, tough, contested, incomplete passes that he's forcing. And then there were various times, I don't remember seeing last year in Vic Fangio's system, I don't remember seeing last year where Chris Harris Jr. really had that tight coverage and really was just constantly doing that. The one thing we did see is guys getting separation. We saw guys getting downfield and making big plays on Chris Harris Jr. We haven't seen that against Bryce Callahan this year. So I've been very, very impressed with Bryce. And not a lot of Broncos fans realize this, but this offseason he actually took a pay cut. He restructured his contract to help the Broncos out with their cap situation because of the fact he didn't play last year, and he wanted to prove that he can earn that money back. And so that's something that he did that not a lot of people are talking about. So I think it speaks volumes to what the Broncos think of Bryce and what Bryce thinks of the Broncos. And so far, it's paying off.
Yeah, is it fair to say? I mean, obviously, I love Kareem Jackson. I love what he does because I think he's a game changer in many ways. Justin Simmons is, you know, certainly one of their best players. But it's starting to feel more and more like Callahan's the most important piece to this defense.
I think right now Callahan is arguably your defensive MVP for sure, absolutely. And I think that John Elway absolutely nailed his signings with both Bryce Callahan and Kareem Jackson. I mean, the way that he was able to secure both those guys, the impact that they are playing right now, I mean, they're playing at an all-pro level at the strong safety position and at the nickel. And the thing that Bryce is doing this year, too, he's not just playing nickel, he's also playing outside in the Broncos' base. And even when the Broncos went nickel last week, they really entrusted that Sang Bassey was going to do his job on the interior and the nickel, and then they were going to allow Bryce to play on the outside to match up well against Nelson Aguilar, Darren Waller, and you know, the guys that he was having to cover there. And I think it paid off. So the Broncos' versatility is great. Now, if Bryce Callahan somehow does not go on Sunday, you can expect Sang Bassey to start inside the nickel, Devontae Bosby to get the start on the outside opposite A.J. Boye. And the Broncos, when they go dime package, we've been seeing a lot more Duke Dawson as well. So I think the Broncos' defensive backfield has been a very, very significant surprise this season. They've been very fun to watch. And they've been good, and a lot of that is attributed to them playing tight coverage because the Broncos, they've also turned up the pressure defensively too, and they've been able to get sacks, which helps out in the back end of that secondary. So the Broncos are a top-10 unit with sacks, and are also inching up there towards being a better against the pass, you know, minus the last couple of weeks where, I mean, outside of the Raiders game, but they allowed a 250-plus-yard passer against the Chargers and the Falcons. And they didn't have that happen last week. So they've adjusted really well, and I've been very surprised by them.
Cody, you talked about Miami, maybe some of those defensive numbers being a bit deceptive. That's why, like yourself, do that film study, watch these games, and see sometimes it's more than just the stats. Isn't that fair to say that with the Broncos, too? I mean, we've seen how many first halves where this defense is playing lights out, and then something in that third, maybe just they're on the field too much. It's a mental thing at that stage. We start to see the cracks, and you can only expect this defense to play lights out for so long. Is it fair to say this defense is actually pretty darn good? The offense just is not really helping them, and not adding the complementary football side of things.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people look at the end result and say, oh, the Broncos defense isn't doing their job, but to be honest with you, when your defense is on the field for so long, I mean, it does have an impact on you, and especially when your defense will get the ball back or force a punt and the offense can't do anything with it. They go three and out. The Broncos defense, they're right back on the field and, you know, in under a minute and a half. You got to be able to avoid things like that. And what's also hurt Denver, too, you know, what's hurt their defense is the fact that both offense and special teams have been very porous for Denver this year. And they haven't had no consistency in those two areas of the game. So it's really tough. And I think when a lot of people say, oh, the defense is terrible, actually the defense, I think if it weren't for some of the injuries, if it weren't for the offense and special team struggles, I think this would be a top five unit in the National Football League. They're obviously missing Mike Purcell right now and Shelby Harris against the run. That's been a big concern. But a lot of those runs have not come on the interior. A lot of those runs have come on the outside. So the Broncos have to do a little bit of a better job with their edge contained this week, especially against the run. But they're a very strong defense. They are better than what people believe. And I tell you what, if they could get the offense going, I think this is a team that is either 500 or above 500. But unfortunately, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, we're talking to Cody Rourke, Broncos insider, NFL media talent for Pro Football Network. How about on the offensive side? When you look at Drew Lock, I mean, there's no question the last couple of weeks we've seen some rough outings for this guy, and he's really facing some, obviously the injury's tough, but this is kind of the first couple the stretch of adversity he's faced these last few weeks. What have you seen in the film, in the tapes, that he's just not clicking on right now the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint one thing, and I feel like sometimes he senses pressure is there when it's really not. What the Broncos did in the first half against the Raiders, to be honest with you, I think if you go back and you look at that film review I did, it's almost a half hour long. But in the first half, I felt like the Broncos offense, they actually did some things that played to the strength of Drew Lock. I mean, some quick run action where, you know, he's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. It's not play action because it's not necessarily just pass protection by the O-line. They're going to have a pulling guard and a running back to stay in for pass protection there. But one of the things I saw is that they were delivering the ball quickly. You know, I think the offense was moving decently well, minus a few times against the Raiders in that first half. And then after that holding call by Noah Fant, after the interception by Drew Lock, the offense looked completely different in the second half. They looked deflated, and, you know, when they got back on the field in the fourth quarter, first possession was a turnover, and then the other one was a turnover. And so for Denver, I think it's just all about continuity and building consistency. You got to build on what you do really well. And I think the Broncos, if they're smart, which I think they look, they have a great coaching staff there in place, contrary to what a lot of Broncos fans think. I think that they're going to put these guys in a situation that plays to their strengths going forward. And it's something they've been trying to do. But execution is one thing. I mean, you can look at what happens on the field and you can blame the coaches. But the reality is it's a combination of both. Coaches are accountable, but players also have to execute. And so, you know, I think that's where Denver is at right now.
Cody, always appreciate your insight, man. What do you have for us? I know folks can always check out some of your film study there at Cody Rourke, NFL.com. What else are you working on for us that we can check out throughout the weekend?
Yeah, we got Locked On Broncos every single day. It's a brand new podcast covering what's going on with this Denver Broncos football team. We previewed the Miami Dolphins game on today's episode. We have the post-game report for you on Monday's episode of the show. And obviously, you can catch me here on Friday with Brady on the Brady Hoge Show.
Appreciate you, man, as always. And, hey, let's see it. You said if the Broncos can find a way to get this done, who knows? Maybe we're feeling a little bit better about the rest of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, with the injury to Drew Brees, if the Broncos can sneak out a win here against Miami and catch a New Orleans team that's missing their, you know, their key quarterback and get a win there, this is a different conversation that we're going to be having towards the end of the season. So, yeah, definitely everything could be on the up and up.
Yeah. Cody, appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, Cody Rourke, Broncos insider, NFL media talent at Pro Football Network. Taysom Hill is going to get the start for the Saints, the wide receiver, quarterback kind of guy, dude, thing. Yeah, that's what they're going with. I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I don't know how it's going to go. Is it going to be Tebow-esque? I'm not sure. When we come back, Colfax, we'll talk about my other three. That's what we call them now, right? My other three outside Broncos Dolphins. Before we do that, tell you, On the Rocks Liquors bringing our game beer of the week. New Belgium Brewing in Fort Collins. Old-fashioned bourbon barrel ale. Also, Molly Brown Spirits from Denver. The bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey is available up here only at On the Rocks Liquor. They got a drive-through for you available, open until midnight. Their store lobby is open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for your shopping pleasure. They are also sponsoring our Brew Talk Award show. You can go vote your favorite brewery, favorite beer, favorite distillery, favorite beer name. There's like 5 or 6 nominees up on each list. And folks are going crazy. Go to 1310kfk.com. You'll see the banner ad at the very top. Click it. Go vote. Just by voting, you get a gift certificate for it's like 25% off and like maybe even a 6-pack for with like a $25 purchase at On the Rocks Liquor. So it's a hell of a deal just to go vote. So go to 1310kfka.com. 33 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show that is the whole show. live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Would you wait in line for more than an hour at an In-N-Out for an In-N-Out burger?
Absolutely not.
Have you ever had an In-N-Out burger?
I have.
Is it good?
It's fine.
That's what I figured. Have you had the what was it the other craze last year? Was the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Did you ever have that?
Did not get down on that either.
I mean, I like fast food as much as the next guy. I mean, I can destroy some cheeseburgers at Mickey D's, man. But I'm not going to go wait in line for it.
No.
I'll sit down at a restaurant, and I'll have a beer and watch a game, and I can sit there and wait an hour for any food. But I'm not going to go stand in a line without a beer or something to entertain me. Like, I'm sorry, but the people that are doing this in Denver, you're nuts. You are nuts. And it's kind of a tough day because there's more restrictions coming out, and I'm not going to get into all that today because I'm just going to get angry. And so you're supporting a chain from California. All these local businesses that have supported this state for several years, looking at that today, that sucks. Just going to throw that out there. Windsor Mill Tavern is a place you guys should check out. We love our local restaurants. We love these businesses that give back to our communities. That's what they do. They don't come and bust in and get a big line for whatever, for fast food. No, these guys, they treat you so great there, man. I mean, the waiter I had last time, I can't even remember his name. I'm terrible with names. But he was such a great guy. He's asking questions, you know, and he's not annoying or anything. He's just like, hey, you guys having a good day? Just makes you feel at home. And my goodness, we need that more. That's the Windsor Mill Tavern. They're in the newly remodeled historic Windsor Mill. The guys were there for Brew Talk, doing a remote at Peculiar Ales. That was cool. So that whole Windsor Mill that Windsor Mill area, there's like three or four awesome businesses there. Do me a favor. If you like listening to the whole show, you've been with us since this whole pandemic began when Colfax and I were reviewing Dumb and Dumber from 1994. Go support these businesses that help us do this every single day. And Windsor Mill Tavern, that's one of them. And man, handcrafted cocktails, go grab one. They'll do delivery and all that stuff, too. So curbside, all that. They'll be ready for you. I just couldn't believe it, though. Seeing people stand in line, like thousands of people, right? Thousands for an In-N-Out burger. I mean, no, I've never, I tweeted this. I said, I would never stand in line for more than half an hour. Because I've probably sat in a drive-thru for longer than I would like, but that's, you know, you're kind of stuck. You can't really move. But that's because you're already there and they're slow or whatever. But I was with my wife years ago and her mom and dad in Denver. Some new restaurant they wanted to try and they loved it. They're kind of foodies. They're all about, I'll grab a bag of beef jerky, let's go, and I'll take a 20-minute lunch. But that, you know, we sat for an hour waiting for this place, and I'm sitting there. We go in and I eat it. It's fine. I'm not picky at all. I'm not a foodie. And I looked at my wife and said, I can never do that again. There's a diner that my mother and father-in-law love to go to in Fort Collins. It's a breakfast place. You go there in prime time, breakfast time. You might expect an hour wait. And like I said, I go in there and I'm like, it's pretty good. Not worth an hour. I will bust over to Mickey D's, get that thing done in 15 seconds, and eat it in 5, and it's back to life. I mean, I might feel like the Black Death for a good hour or two afterward, but I couldn't believe that, man. Dixon texting in, Brady, they're now reporting that Schefter's report of Taysom Hill starting might be a little bit premature. Sean Payton says he has yet to announce a starter. Well, Schefter reported that that Jameis Winston wasn't involved in any of the offensive packages, though, too. Like, he wasn't involved at all this week. So, take that where you want, but I think that's where Schefter's probably deducing who's going to be starting for the Saints. Taysom Hill is the Tebow that should have been. And what I mean by that, if Tebow would have said, all right, maybe I'm not a quarterback, I'm a Swiss Army knife. I can play tight end. I can return kicks. I can do all those other things and maybe throw a ball once in a while. I think Tebow would still be in the league. Taysom Hill is that guy. You know, BYU, he was okay. He had a lot of weird throws, but he made it to the NFL. But he's a utility guy. He's ridiculously athletic. He can return kicks. He can catch. He can run. We'll see. I hope he plays because I want to be entertained. I've seen Jameis Winston. I've seen that show. I'm cool with this. So suddenly, Colfax, as we bust through the others, the games outside of, you know, the most obviously the most interesting, Dolphins Broncos. My other games that I'm interested in, and I'm not doing three this time. I got a lot more than that. There's no CSU. There's no CU. So forgive me. I'm loading up. Thursday night special landed, by the way. You're very welcome for that, everybody. I'm back over 500. Get ready because I'm going 3-0 for Thanksgiving. I do every single year. It's a new tradition that Hooligans absolutely live by. It's magic. It's magic. I can't even explain it. Falcons Saints. Yes. Now that game is suddenly very interesting to me. I want to see Taysom Hill. I don't care. I just want to see it. I'm bored. I want to see football, but I want to see weird football. It's time to get weird. It's 2020. Go for it. They should shift this game. It's 11 o'clock Mountain. They should move it to Sunday Night Football. Probably not going to happen because I think the Sunday Night Football game is pretty good, too. We'll keep going. So I'm definitely excited about that game just because of that. No Drew Brees, and that sucks for him, but want to see Taysom Hill. Titans-Ravens. This one's interesting. The Ravens are a team now that I think would be upset if they finished 10-6. They want to finish, you know, they want to be a top-tier AFC team. They believe they are good enough to win the Super Bowl. The Titans were only a game away from the Super Bowl last year. They go to the AFC Championship. But they've both kind of run into some issues as of late. So both teams 6-3. The quest for me, again, on the Titans side is to watch Derrick Henry. He's not going to hit the 2,000-yard mark, man. I think he's going to have to start averaging like some 175s or something. But the watch was on a while ago. He needs to have a big, big monster game this weekend against a decent defense in the Ravens. So, yeah, I don't know that the quest for 2,000 is going to be realistic for him anymore. Packers-Colts. Who would have thought this was going to be a big game? But Phillip Rivers has been good. He's been just good. Their defense is really good. They have a lot of weapons. They use everybody on that roster, man. Colfax, you could go there, put a Colts jersey on, stand around lost for an hour, and then they might just throw you in and throw you a little pass. That's what the Colts do. That's why they're scary when you want to pick anybody for fantasy on that team. Aaron Rodgers, though, Packers are 7-2. He's playing, I mean, he's 26 touchdowns on the year. He's phenomenal yet again. Sunday Night Football, an AFC West battle. The Chiefs and the Raiders. Apparently, Andy Reid was mad that the Raiders took a victory lap around Arrowhead last time around. Gruden was asked about it, and he said maybe the bus driver wouldn't have messed around and taken so long or something, we wouldn't have taken a victory lap. That made no sense. But then again, it's Gruden. I was hypnotized listening to it, so it did actually make sense. Because anytime Gruden talks, whatever he says, I buy into. But I love it at the end. He shuts it down. He goes, next question. This is ridiculous. Gruden in the NFL, make no mistake about it. It's a better place when Gruden is in the NFL. Chiefs, Raiders. This is, the Raiders are a good team. They found a way to beat the Chiefs a few weeks ago, 40-32. So the one team to do it. Do the Chiefs rebound after that? The Chiefs are an 8-point favorite in this one on the road. So, yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes and company are not too thrilled about that blemish on their record, and they want to rectify that situation here. This will tell us a lot about the Raiders. If the Raiders find a way to do this, they're going to have all the confidence in the world, and watch out. Maybe they're good, but I don't see it happening. But I guess we'll find out. And then we go to Monday night. Rams, Buccaneers, Tom Brady and company rebounded nicely a week ago. Now they play host to a 6-3 Rams team that they need this game. You know, they're looking at their division. They're trying to win a division. Well, Seattle bumped back up to the top. They were in third before last night began. They're now 7-3, sitting atop the NFC West standings. If the Rams lose that game, they're in tough territory. So it's a big game for them. But the Bucs have bigger goals on their mind. They want to get to the Super Bowl. They want to get that first seed. So they'll be focused on that. Yeah, it should be a really, really fun NFL weekend, Colfax. Can't wait for it. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Dixon said he did pick up Hill, and he's going to play him. McClain. I'm sick of this Adam Schefter fella. Let some others break some news, too. Yeah, Adam Schefter made a deal with the NFL devil, didn't he? Because why does Schefter get to break every bit of news? I mean, Adam Woj, he's a guy that breaks most of the NBA stuff, but you still get a good chunk of reporters that break NBA news. No, it's all Schefter. Dude, Schefter breaks stories like Dolphins fourth-string quarterback has chicken pox. I mean, this random stuff that you wouldn't even think is a story you need to know, but he breaks it. You know, 8th-string defensive tackle got a haircut. He's not satisfied with it. I mean, he gets every bit of news that pertains to NFL. And then sometimes he randomly posts stuff about baseball, and it's weird. Dixon says, Raiders shouldn't have poked the bear. I get that feeling, too. I have a weird feeling that the Chiefs' offense is going to go nuts. 48 minutes after the hour, my keys to the Broncos game. Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about
religion. Man, there's a lot we didn't even get to today. I really want to get into the Nolan Arenado stuff, Colfax. I want to talk about the fact that, well, the Lakers want Jeremy Grant. Philadelphia 76ers news outlets reported today that there's not a real good sense of where Grant's going to go, which I thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to end up with the Nuggets. So we're going to talk about that Monday, because who knows what's going to happen. Free agency technically begins tonight at 6 o'clock, so, or 4 o'clock. So there's going to be a lot of NBA news. My keys to victory for the Broncos Dolphins. Man, we've been all over the place today, but to me, one of them's pretty simple. Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, commit to the run. If you're unsatisfied after two carries, do it again and then again, especially if you're only down 4 points. You keep running the football. You keep trying. If you're going to go down, you go down running the football. Pressure Tua. You know, he's been a very careful guy. He's not going to make mistakes. No interceptions yet on the season. Find a way to get creative. Vic Fangio, do your worst to this weekend, because you're going to have to get to him. And you know what? Whether it's Drew Lock or Brett Rypien, you got to trust that pocket. Stay in it. For whatever reason, Drew snaps the ball and takes off. You got to trust it. You're probably going to get hit a few times, but start trusting it. I know it's hard to do that with that O-line, but rolling out immediately is making things 10 times worse. So trust that pocket. If they can do those things, I think they win. If they don't run the ball more than 15 times in this game to Phillip Lindsay, they lose. Simple. If they do, I think they win. Good night, Northern Colorado.